Chapter 16. Blood Brothers. I may call you kin, but you are unkind. You are entirely not of me. Ferus Manus to Conrad Kurz. Reported. Kurz stepped away from the communication field and faced his brothers. Gilliman and the Lion approached him. Gilliman to his left, the Lion to his right. Gilliman clutched his gladius, not his most magnificent weapon, but a favoured piece. He had made more kills than he had truly cared about with that utilitarian blade than any fine sword in his arsenal. He had a gleaming combat shield strapped to his left arm. He was bareheaded. The Lion's hair was loose, his jaw set. He held a charged longsword that Farith Redloss had passed to him. It was known far and wide as the Lion Sword, said to have been forged on Terra by the Emperor's own armourers. It shone with a pale inner light. "Not a man intervenes," Gilliman said to the Ultramarines and Dark Angels crowded at the chapel doors. "This is between us," the Lion agreed. "Farith, you may strike down any other who tries to engage." "You heard that, Gorod," said Gilliman. "The same applies." Both Gorod of the Invictus and Farith Redloss made murmurs of acceptance. "You do not come to my world and do this," said Gilliman, stalking Kurz. "You do not enter my house and do this."
"I do what I please, brother," Kurz replied. They could smell the stink of his breath from across the chamber.
The Lion glanced sidelong at Augustine's pitiful remains.
"You have piled up too many corpses this night, Conrad. My legionaries and too many of Rabute's. This warrior, the master of the first, is an especially grievous loss."
"He was pugnacious," Kurz hissed. "Even when I'd taken out his gizzard and lights, he kept walking."
"Bastard," Gilliman snapped.
"Master Augustine fought like the champions of legend, my lord," said Pollux from the gleaming field. "He defied death to fight on. I have never seen its like."
"And you have defied corporeal physics to escape me, Imperial Fist," Kurz whispered, his words issuing as though they had been ground out between millstones. "Come, does no one else wonder at that?"
Gilliman was close to Kurz. He began to loop and spin his gladius.
"Brother has killed brother," he said. "As we were raised, that is unthinkable. But brother has killed brother. Every time it has been a heretic son who has slain a devoted brother. Ferus, Korax, Vulcan."
"Ah, now," murmured Kurz. "Tut, tut. Tat Rabute, Vulcan lives."
"Then I rejoice," said Gilliman, "but I believe it is past time that the heretics paid a price, a blood price. I think it is past time that a devoted son put a heretic in the damned ground."
"Agreed, sevenfold," said the Lion in a low hunting voice. Kurz faced them. He stood tall, taller than either of them, a stark figure of lean, long bones and hollowed frame. He looked like a starved giant, towering yet emaciated. His tattered black cloak flowed from his shoulders to the ground like the furled wings of a wounded bird. His slender arms hung at his sides, the huge slack power claws making his hands disproportionately long. He tilted his head back, his hair lank. He closed his eyes.
"Brother," he said, "and you, brother, come and get me."
Gilliman surged forward. The Lion was faster. Gilliman was robust and dazzling, but the Lion was elegant. The Lion's sword described a buzzing arc in the air as it circled, leaving a bright afterimage briefly stamped on the vision of all the legionaries watching. The blade scythed at Kurz's head. He did not move. Then he was smoke. The power claws of Kurzi's right hand snapped out and drove aside the stinging bite of the lion sword. The claws of his left met Gilliman's gladius and deflected it. Gilliman struck again, driven by fury, and cut through something. It was only shadow, only the tatter of a cloak. Talons snapped back at him. He raised his shield. Razored claws ripped sparks off its surface and shredded its edges. Gilliman hacked again. Nothing. Shadow. Shadow. The lion rotated like a dancer and swung the famous lion sword sidelong at Kurz with a two-handed grip. Kurz ducked, evaded, and rotated in turn, punching away Gilliman's neck strike as he did so. The lion tilted and swung his sizzling blade in a strike designed to unseam Kurz from the groin to the throat. But Kurz was no longer there. He had flickered left and blocked the upswing. Then he smashed his hand into the lion's face. Blood burst from the strike. A talon had punched clean through the side of the lion's neck. The lion reeled backwards, his hand clamped to the wound to staunch it. Some of his men mobbed forward in alarm. "No!" the lion yelled. Gilliman slammed his ragged shield into Kurz and drove him backwards. He stabbed twice with the gladius, rapidly, like a striking snake, and drew blood on the second jab. "Bastard!" Kurz hissed. His talons struck Gilliman and knocked him aside, leaving four long gouges in his chest plate. Gilliman recovered, sweeping in low with his blade, and then high on the return. Struck, Kurz spun away and fell. When he rose, his right cheek was open to the bone.
"Now we start in earnest," he hissed.
"Now we finish in earnest," the lion spat, coming at Kurz with his sword ready. Kurz moved again, sliding into darkness. The blade ripped through smoke and shadow. The lion turned and engaged again, striking once, twice, three times, each blow blocked by swift and savage claws.
"Oh, sweet terror," Pollux said. He looked at the warsmith. "Do you feel that?"
"I do," agreed Dantioch. "I do, most assuredly."
The quantum field's empathic effect was resonating through both of them. They could both feel it. A truth, Kurz's truth. The efforts of Augustine and Pollux had not delayed Kurz too long. They had not kept him in place so that he might be trapped. He had built this as a trap all along, a trap to kill one or more of his brothers.
"Get out, my lords," Pollux yelled. "Get out now. He has wired the chapel. Get out, for the love of mercy."
Driven back by Kurz's claws, Gilliman looked at the figures of Pollux and the warsmith in the glow of the communication field.
"He has what?"
"Get out, my lord," Pollux screamed.
Kurz knocked the lion's blade aside. He paused, and his black-toothed grin reappeared. It was a grin of triumph.
"I have, since birth, been a staunch friend of death," he said. "I have learned that death is lonely, and so enjoys making new and lasting friends. Robute, great lion, let me make your introduction."
Kurz clapped his clawed hands. The 75 grenades wired around the eaves of the chapel triggered. In a sheet of white flame and fury, the Chapel of Memorial ceased to be.